You're listening to a conversation with Philip DeFranco and a guest. Maybe you'll learn something, maybe you won't, but we'll have a good time.
Probably.
Hey, before we jump into this week's conversation with, just a quick thank you to everyone that's been listening to the audio-only versions on this, wherever you are, although a huge chunk of you are on Apple Podcasts. If you are listening to us there, it would be amazing. So great. Even fantastic, some say, if you would give us a five-star review and let us know what you're liking from this podcast, what who you'd like to have us have on next, any other things and people and words. But with that said, let's just jump into it. Hey, welcome to A Conversation With. My name is Philip DeFranco, and this week we're doing something a little bit different, something we did about 5 weeks ago. We're having a conversation with you. Well, not we, just me and the other voices in my head. The way that we do this is people send in voice messages to anchor.fm/aconversationwith, you know, a super easy and short URL, and you say something in under 60 seconds. It can be a question. It can just be you kind of vomiting your words and your truth or whatever that is out there into the world, and then sometimes we'll include it. And if I didn't include it on the show, it is not my fault. It is the fault of my team. They're terrible, horrible, horrible people. And also in this episode, we were going to take some text questions from my Instagram at Philly DeFranco. But yeah, let's just jump into it.
I know that there's no way this is actually going to make the air if he ever does another episode like that again, but please pass along this message to Phil and Lindsay. Phil, dude, thanks. You got me laid with your SeatGeek discount code. I was able to last minute take a girl to her first NHL game, and she's now my girlfriend, who, you know, we had a little bit of a rough patch due to some of her anxiety issues that she suffers from. So, Lindsay, thank you for going on the podcast and kind of explaining how you deal with yours, because it helped me get a better idea of what's happening in her head and how I can just be there and listen. So, love the show. Please keep making content. Talk to you later.
So first off, yes, you're welcome. That was all my doing and nothing to do with you. And two, when you're talking about your girlfriend's anxiety, and yeah, I feel like that's some of the best advice I think anyone can have, whether it be someone's dealing with anxiety, dealing with anything, or just in general, listen more. I feel like people feel like they have to fill the silence with words, or when someone's telling them something, they're looking for a solution. No, I feel like 95% of the time, people just want just someone to hear them out. That's it, to feel less alone. Also because a lot of the time people, they're not going to take the advice anyway. They're just, they have to figure it out themselves, but it's always made that much easier when you know you're not in it alone. Cause I feel like, especially these days, people, we can be as connected as we are. People feel more alone than ever. And so just listening, just a little outreach. It's key. It's important.
Hey Philly, what's up? How you doing?
Just the start. It sounds like you're doing a Jenna Marbles impression, but okay, here we go.
Hi. First of all, how's your day going? Hope it's going well.
Amazing.
I don't feel like anyone really asks you that very often.
Not many.
Two, how many gifts is too much in a conversation? Because I'm a gift lover, but I feel like people, you know, don't like it so much sometimes, so your honest opinion, how many is too much?
The most important question we'll take today. It's based on context. That's it. It's based on context. If someone's like, hey, you want to go out? Yeah, you can respond to a GIF. If someone's like, I have stage 3 cancer, not appropriate. Just different situations. I know some people that only communicate in text via GIF. That's annoying. That makes me feel like it's not this kind of quirky, cute thing. I think you just don't understand how words are put together to form sentences, or sentences that have value. But no, There's nothing wrong with a GIF. Sometimes, just to fuck with people, I'll boomer it up and just post minion GIFs, just because I know it gets under people's skin. But context, that's it. Like with everything in life, context is key. It's situational.
Hey, Phil. My name's Paige. I'm 19 years old. I'm a big fan of the Philip DeFranco show and everything that Rogue Rocket has produced so far. This past Saturday, I was looking for a documentary to play. I work in an assisted living facility, and I played your 9/11 mini doc, and the residents really appreciated it, and I really appreciated it on my own as well, just because I was born in 2000, which means I didn't remember the attack. And so it was a really cool experience for me to learn about a different side of it, a different than what we learn in history class. So I wanted to thank you from me and the residents for sharing that and for everything that you're creating and showing a side of this story that is.
I really appreciate that. I mean, that all the props for that goes to the full RR team, the amazing responders and first responders, the families. And I feel like that's something that's constantly lost in a lot of stories. It's just the human element, right? The people that actually went through something. I mean, think of, obviously it's a different tragedy, but think of that mass shooting that happened in Vegas. What about like the people that were actually on the ground? We hear about the stories of the massive lawsuit and the mystery around it, but how many stories do we hear from the people that were actually affected? How many times do we hear about, you know, the fractured, whether it be the family unit or the community in general? And we lose a lot of that, especially when we're constantly consuming so many things that like that didn't happen too long ago in the grand scheme of things. And it feels so incredibly distant. And so I think it's important that we, you know, remember the human element to those things. It's something I think that a lot of us struggle with here. It's just with how fast everything moves, there's this constant question of how do we make something resonate? How do we make someone feel like something matters? Obviously with a 9/11, that's far easier because it had such a massive impact. But also hearing you say, you know, when you were born, how, you know, you don't have that experience. Me is, you know, I'm 33 now. It's important for me to remember that not everyone had, you know, that same experience when they were in school or had family that were up there or were actually out there experiencing it themselves. And it's kind of just this thing that happened. They can see clips of it. It's on paper, but they're so far removed. But that's also a slightly different thing for me too, just because growing up, I was fascinated by history. history and math were the only things that I cared about and was even slightly good at. So yeah, in a weird way, I was hearing you say that, we've been seeing more and more of the deep dives and even the show show up in classrooms. So it's kind of a trip, but thank you so much.
Hey, Phil, my name is Tom. I listen to your show a lot and I love it. I'm 50 years old. Been working for this company going on 8 months as a temp. And I don't know what to do anymore. I really don't. It feels like they're never going to hire me. And what else am I going to do? I'm 50. It's like, it's ridiculous. So I don't know what to do. What are your thoughts? I love your face and take it easy.
So one, I will start off. I don't know if I'm qualified or equipped to properly answer the question. I will say two, I don't know is an almost universal feeling among most people at multiple times in their life, or it's just a constant overwhelming feeling. And three, I've been seeing more and more, and it's been kind of a cool thing to see, kind of people that are older than me, 40s, 50s, 60s, getting inspired and trying new things because of people like Gary Vee. Gary has, depending on your outlook of like a Gary Vaynerchuk, if you're unfamiliar, Google him. I highly recommend it, especially for someone that's trying to figure out the position, whether you're, you know, a young entrepreneur or someone kind of having that midlife, what am I supposed to do? Definitely checking it out, right? Taking control of your life. He's got a lot of I feel like really solid advice that if I didn't have like this everyday 12-hour thing, that I would take that advice. I would highly recommend you check out his videos. His whole thing is, you know, 40, 50, 60, you can still make massive swings. You can still pick yourself up with even these kind of like slight little things that can either be a new focus for you or help buy you time and help you accrue money so that you can find something you care about. But yeah, it's I wish you the best. That is a hard one.
Hey Phil, I'm AJ. I recently graduated college in May from the University of Mississippi. And I moved up to Michigan to try and start my career with an internship in theater. And I thought it'd be a nice stepping stone or two. And I got fired like a few days ago. So like September 7th or something. But I it took me a few days, but I kind of figured out where I'm going and what I'm going to do. And luckily I have some good people in my life who gave me some advice, gave me some wisdom, and I listened hard. But I wanted to ask if you had ever been unexpectedly fired from something, and how did you handle that or deal with that?
So one, I hope things work out. Two, I mean, I was unexpectedly fired before, but I also should have expected it, and it was also completely my fault. near the time that I was hating a server job, people know that I had multiple jobs growing up. Serving job at Outback Steakhouse is one that I was like top notch. It taught me how to deal with people, figure out how to get a higher tip, get people to like me more. I also think that being a waiter, it grounds you, right? It's kind of a great, but also a completely shitty job. If you also, side note, while I'm talking about this, if you go to a restaurant and your tip on a Sunday is one of those like religious, you can still be saved cards, I fucking hate you. I don't hate that many people. If you stiff your waiter with that, I hate you. I hate you as much as it makes sense to hate someone you don't know on a personal basis. on that note, there was a lady that stiffed me. I, in my young mind, very stupid, decided, you know what? I'm just going to... I hate it. It's not even like a big swing. I had her tip me 15%. Wrote it in myself. Very stupid. She called the restaurant. They called me, said I was going to... They wanted to have a chat. Knew they were going to fire me. So I just never showed up. So maybe I didn't get fired. Maybe I just quit. We'll just leave that in the past, though.
Hi. I'm the depressed snowflake, and I just wanted to say thank you for, being on YouTube and giving me an experience that I wouldn't normally get from other creators and stuff like that. It's really nice to just watch you.
I'm going to pause it real quick. This is how... the moment that I can hear your smoke alarm beeping in the background, I have like a 70% understanding of you. But here we go.
After school and everything like that, and just get my media coverage from you, because you make it so like digestible, basically. And just, it's nice to have you around. Also wondering, Are you playing Final Fantasy VII at all? Or has it ever crossed your mind before? Not totally cool. Ignore that question. Edit that out. Like, yeah. Thank you for listening. Bye.
So one, yes, I played Final Fantasy VII back when it was on... Was it just on the original PlayStation? I don't know. It was a long time ago. It was on multiple discs. And yes, I'm very excited to play the new one. When it comes out, it's not out yet, right? You're talking about the old ass game? Okay. Also, if your smoke alarm is going off, one, change the batteries. Two, depending on the smoke alarm, you got to push the button. Just do it. Just be proactive about it, because if you do not do it, it will always go off at 3 o'clock in the morning. and it's, oh, when I was saying like, it says a lot about you as a person, I immediately had a flashback to several years ago. I was home alone. I had, partaken of a decent amount, more than I should have, of a California medicine. And it started going off at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was very confused and angry. And I have a very high ceiling in my bedroom, and not my best moment, but I got on a stepladder, didn't get me high enough, and I couldn't get it to stop. I couldn't get the smoke alarm to stop, so I, in my state, just started hitting it as hard as I could with a broom, and I destroyed it. And now my house is unsafe, and that's it. That's the end of the story. It's not that interesting. Okay, moving on. Okay, but from that, we're going to switch to the Instagram questions you asked me. We have Lisa who asks, is it better for a YouTuber if we let an entire ad play through versus clicking skip ad? I have zero idea, but what I always recommend is just whatever makes the experience more enjoyable for you, do it. Don't think about like what we make from AdSense. It's so minimal on a per person level, but I know that you're asking that from such an incredibly supportive place. So thank you, but no, always whatever is the easiest viewing experience. I mean, it's even why we add our viewer, our time codes in videos, right? If you don't like a particular story, you want to end up skipping Today in Awesome, which has our sponsor segment, do it. Like, because I want you to be able to just fully enjoy and not feel like you never want someone to feel like they're doing a chore to help support you. You know what I mean? 15417 says, or asks, when was the last time you saw a PDS? A full PDS has actually been a very long time. We use this program called frame.io, or I guess site, or whatever you want to call it. I have an app on my phone too. But essentially for each story, from my computer or my phone, I can watch the current cut of a specific story and I can put notes on it. Other people on the team can put notes on it. Then I can do my fixes. And that's primarily how I, if I'm using air quotes for those that are just listening, I watch the show. But as far as a full-fledged piece, I don't watch through. Even on my final watchdowns, I'm not even in those anymore, just because when you do what I do for so long, you end up hating the sound of your own voice, which I guess is okay, because I'm not like a huge egocentric narcissist where I'm like, I'm so great. But no, for the most part, I see little snippets and then I just get the fuck out of there. Just also because from a time turnaround, it doesn't make sense otherwise. From something, something lucky duck, why don't you throat punch us anymore? Because anytime I say something in a video that even remotely people like attach themselves to, then that's every comment. I made the don't call me daddy reference one time and it just kept happening. So I was like, okay, well, I guess we're going to release a shirt around this so that I can monetize this thing. And then we did throat punching, kind of like a one-off thing. People kind of ran with it. But the thing is, I can't do that every episode. This is something that I don't think it actually, I think this was, so on the Dr. Mike podcast, we always film like before, after, just general conversation, because maybe we can, you know, use little clips that they approve afterwards. he was talking to me and he was like, well, sometimes I don't do his like little beep sound in a video. And then people get angry. And he's like, I'm talking about cancer. I can't talk about this topic, especially when it's about a specific person, and do this kind of childish thing. Kind of same thing with the throat punching. It feels weird to do the throat punching shtick if then the first thing we're going to talk about is the Dallas police officer who just got 10 years, right? So it's kind of that time, place, and then sometimes I just do shit to mess around with the comments, like with the glasses. Like I actually enjoy wearing them, but sometimes I'll just stop for long periods of time so people are like, show them. Because I'm stupid like that. Katie Baby asks, who was your childhood hero? Like Spider-Man, Batman? No, it was two people. One, genuinely my father. He's a badass in my eyes, like master negotiator, just cool dude. And also just a great loving dad. And then two, Sylvester Stallone, specifically because as an Italian, growing up when I did, essentially Sylvester Stallone in our household was like a saint. Other people just didn't know about his sainthood. But, you know, you got Rocky, Rambo. I go back and I watch fucking Over the Top every now and then. Sylvester Stallone. I don't know. The thing is, I don't know much about him as a person. And this goes along the lines of, I try not to meet my heroes. Literally, I think the only famous person that I am a fan of that I would want to meet would be Ryan Reynolds. And even that is a huge risk. Cause I'm like, what if I don't like him? What if he's a dick? What if he's just crafted this image of himself over these, however many years, and he's just playing a character and that's not him. So I get nervous, but yeah, those two is, watching Sylvester Stallone was like, oh, so that's what a man's supposed to be. That's what, it feels weird. Anyway, and you know what? I'll add one more. Stone Cold Steve Austin. Okay, moving on. Brandon P.O. says, if you plan to leave YouTube soon, who would you want your audience to watch for news? Nobody. You stop watching news with me. And then you move, like we talked about this 10 years ago. We all move to Kansas. We start our DeFranco cult. And we fight the vampire robot Nazis who are also zombies. That is a reference that only 4 people understand. But yes, I think the main point of what I was trying to say is let's start a cult. Awesome. See you then. Meg Ferreira asks, how did you know your wife was the one for you? Love you guys. I mean, if you're talking about like there is literally only one other person on the planet, I do not believe that. I feel like that's a crazy thing. But I mean, I would say pretty early on, but for me, it was different, right? Because Lindsay, you know, she had like the dreams of this very specific, very special wedding. For me, I was just like, I love this person. This person loves me. We've been growing and evolving together, you know, because it's like we were different versions of ourselves multiple times throughout the relationship. Even like think of who we were when we first met to now, those are vastly different people. So what I always kind of think of when we're talking about stuff like this is definitely early on, there was a moment that I knew I loved this woman, that I cared about her, that I didn't want anybody else. But I feel like if you're not, I don't want to say if you're not constantly falling in love with this person, if you're not constantly having, or not, if you're not every now and then having those moments where you just, you have that feeling of, I love you. And here's the thing, in a long enough relationship, and I'm so glad, I had a teacher that I think was having a very, very bad month overshare to the classroom that, I think it was related to some story that we were covering in class, that looking back on their life, they wished that they realized that sometimes when you're in a relationship, you get, complacent might not be the right word, but you get used to that feeling and you'll feel like that love, it's diminished, but that first spark is different than long-term committed love. And they had said they really wish they, you know, realized that earlier on in previous relationships and they realized that with a new partner. And so I really carried that with me. And it's one of the reasons, you know, I'm not like constantly analyzing my relationship, but it's what I appreciate. Lindsay and I, our time is kind of crazy right now, but making sure that we take moments and we take certain days for us to, you know, to really appreciate each other because, you know, we both have jobs. It's very easy when you're a parent to just be mom, just be dad and kind of resign from being a person, being a partner. But, you know, and so I think it takes time to just make sure that you're paying attention, that you're not, yeah, taking someone for granted and constantly showing and making sure you also feel loved. I think I kind of touched on it, but then also just word vomited. So thank you for that question. It feels like I needed that. J. Peters 246, how do you keep your hair looking so fresh? Well, one, thank you for letting me promote Beautiful Bastard, my pomades and the beard oils I can't use, but the pomades that I do use. There is this special CBD shampoo and conditioner that we've been working on for a while that I've been personally using, but it's not available to the public. But yeah, it's what maybe we'll release it. The CBD stuff has like certain restrictions and I want to be able to sell it internationally. But yeah, that's it. Heather of Hyrule says, first YouTube channel you ever subscribed to. It's one of three. It's either Lonely Girl 15, which old schoolers remember, seemed like a girl that was just vlogging from her room, but then it turned out to be just a production, and then there was like a cult storyline. I don't know. It was kind of crazy. So either that, a young kid by the name of Boheme, and or an older gentleman by the name of Renetto. People that most likely, like if you're watching me now, you either don't remember or you never saw. But those, the last two. So I met Jessica Rose, who played Lonely Girl 15. She's a fantastic sweetheart of a person. Probably one of my first positive experiences with another online creator. But then with Boheme and Renetto, that very much helped shape how I try to treat other creators in the space, because the times that I met them, I was still up and coming. I think, you know, I'm trying to think if I've met them multiple times, but I don't think I had passed them in popularity, but I was getting closer and closer each day. And they were the rudest fucking people that I ever met. And it seemed to be coming from this place of feeling threatened by someone that was newer and potentially going to surpass them and more popular. And I don't know, I think it was an eye-opening experience to how ugly stuff like this could get, because I came in as a fan of theirs. And one of my first interactions with Boheme, he said some fucked up shit about my dad, which is instant, I want you to fucking die. Sort of like those are the feelings. I would never hurt anybody, but those are the feelings that I felt. And then, yeah, Renetto, just anything that I did, he constantly discounted. And I also don't want to talk a ton of shit about him, because I think I saw a video from several years ago where his life seemed to be falling apart. But it's one of those things where, yeah, there's it's something that I take into account now, where, you know, there are a lot of like new kids, some super young, some in their 20s. They're going to surpass me, right? Or I'm going to go down and, you know, new faces pop up. But I feel like you need to cheer those things on. Because it's, you know, the net result is hopefully more cool shit, as long as they're not garbage people. So I don't know. I think people just need to get past themselves. And I don't know. I feel like there's some support out there, but the space at times can feel like people are just hyper competitive and rather than trying to build their own shit, just try and tear other people's down. So it's, I think that's, so I'm kind of glad that I had those shitty experiences early on, just because it taught me what not to do. And I feel like we need to do that probably more in our life anyway. Look at the bad shit and not just go like, oh, that's bad. But, you know, how would this potentially be applicable to my life, whether it be now or if maybe I get to where I want to go? Brian Hoopsher says, who would be your dream guest for a conversation with? I have to think on that for a minute. By a minute, I mean past this day. But that's also because in my head, a conversation with is a very relaxed conversation. And even when we had Nikita Dragon on last week, that was even, it felt like a slight departure, because it was like, I just wanted to have a conversation to learn more about this person. But every time we kind of got to a place, there was a controversy, and I felt like, in that, I got to learn about someone by them sharing their side of the story. And I mean, I feel like a lot of people that listen to that full podcast, right? Like one of the most pointed out moments in that was when Nikita was talking about her first in class caption, which I felt was very much a misrepresentation. It's not people misunderstanding, unless, and I could be wrong, because I think that English is her first language. It felt like a misrepresentation. But like if that was something that was geared more towards like the Philip DeFranco show, that's a point where I'd probably lean in and start grilling and start, you know, you go for the soundbite or the expose moment. Whereas I want this to be kind of a more relaxed experience. And so I kind of just laughed. And I was like, really? But and so I say all of that because I think it would be fun to have Andrew Yang on. And I've seen a lot of people messaging me on Twitter saying, hey, you should try and get Andrew Yang. I think it would be interesting, but I'm worried that people would have different expectations, right? They'd expect Philip DeFranco show, Phil, talk about politics to a certain level, Phil, rather than I'd probably just want to figure out, like, hear more about him on a kind of more personal level, which one, it would be interesting to me, but two, you know, it's not him necessarily talking about policy points, which is probably something that we need to focus on more, even though sometimes I question outside of the really divisive topics, how much people care. I feel like people care about a few key things. And then, do I think I like that person? Do I feel like I could relate or sit down and have a chat with that person? But I think that would be fun. And there's probably other people. I think Ryan Reynolds would be interesting. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. If you have people that you're thinking of, let me know. Cause I have, I have a list in my head of like the next 8 people. And then we'll see. We also need to see where the podcast is from there. Cause yeah, this is started off as kind of like a quick side hobby thing, but I think I want to lean into it more. It's been really, really fun to just have a conversation with another individual. Andy Gutierrez asked 4 questions in a row. Well, one was, you are so handsome. The other one is, how big is that ween? Then, have you ever had any gay thoughts? Then, have you ever had any gay experiences? I'll take the compliment. No comment on the ween. Gay thoughts or gay experiences? No. And it's just one of those things where this is a thing that I constantly talk about, where people, when people are like, that literally think that being gay is a choice, that's the most confusing thing to me in the world. And that's why I feel like if you feel like it is a choice, that is most likely because it could come from like just a massive place of ignorance, right? But two, it feels like it could also stem, and it feels like it would lend itself to be more true that you've had those feelings and then you made the decision that you were going to be straight. And that's because that otherwise it just makes no sense to me. I don't know. Why do people care? It just doesn't, it's shit that doesn't affect you. It doesn't affect me. If whoever is like in the other room is straight or gay, what the fuck does it matter? I don't know. Anyway, Chris Kogo says, how's the vasectomy? I finally, I've talked about it for so long. I recently scheduled a consultation, and the next step, there we go. It'll be nice to know that I don't have an oopsie number 3. Mm-mm. Man on man defense. No thank you otherwise. And the final thing we'll hit on, P. Granville. I just want to say, just put your name as your username. I just got a beautiful baby boy. Any tips for a first time dad to make the first few months easier? What I always say to any new first time dad, 1, if you connect with your child instantly, great. If you do not connect for like the first 3 to 5 months, you're not broken. You're not weird. Sometimes you need that extra thing to kick in. For me, I loved my son, but there was this key moment when he was like 3 months old where I did something and he laughed and all of a sudden, I immediately felt this like forever bond. And it wasn't like I need to be supportive and take care of this thing that I helped create. It was just like, oh man, you and me, we're in this for life. I'm gonna like, yes. And so that was key for me. And that's also what made me feel better was I had a very odd conversation with a doctor where he brought up this same thing of like, how long did it take for you to connect with your son? And he said that it took him like 7 months. So that would be the first thing, just because I feel like a lot of parents hide a lot of guilt for either feeling disconnected or feeling like they don't know the right thing. So don't. A lot of parents are winging it. Anytime a parent acts like they know something and they're like a condescending person, that person is an asshole. A good person would just be like, hey, this worked out for me. Not forcing anything onto you. So 1, that, and then 2, if it's in the first months, definitely initially talk to the wife as far as sleep schedule, because the first 3 months, a nightmare. We personally, and not everyone's on board with this, everyone has their own different thing, sleep training at around, once it's not as intermittent, that was key. That was the key to sanity and getting kind of like control back over our lives. And then, yeah, just, and also trust a doctor over the internet 99.9, times out of 100. You'll fucking scare yourself. Oh man. Oh man. When I was a first time parent, the internet's a fucking, it just makes you think that everything's wrong and broken and you're doing stuff wrong. So just, yeah, talk to a doctor. Talk to a fucking doctor. And that's where we're going to end this one. Guys, thank you for watching A Conversation With and or listening to A Conversation With. That audio base has been growing and growing. It's been very cool to see. We're here every Wednesday until January, which I'm still looking at possibly taking a break, but maybe I'll shoot some podcasts in advance. That said, love you, Face. Thanks for being a part of this, and I'll see you next Wednesday.